Rav Tzedakah Kohen from Lublin, 100 years ago, has a concept that if you really want to know the essence of what something is, look at the first time that it appears in the Torah. Well, if that's the case, then Parshas Bereishis should be the first of a lot of things, so it'll give us a lot of insight into many different concepts. As already mentioned by Rabbi Schoenfeld, we have the first act of violence in this week's Parsha. We have the first sibling rivalry, which led to that first act of violence. And few things have changed since then, in many respects, among siblings. And we also have the events leading up to that sibling rivalry. As Rav Schoenfeld mentioned, that we have the first karbon, the first sacrifice that was offered in the world history, as well as the second karbon that was offered in world history. And we know that Hevel, as Rav Schoenfeld mentioned, was actually the second person to offer, because first Cain brought his offerings from his fruits and vegetables, which the pasuk seems to imply was not the greatest of his fruits and vegetables, whereas Hevel, he brought the best of his sheep, best of his animals. And the typical explanation for why Cain's karbon was rejected and Hevel's accepted is that Cain brought low-quality stuff, and Hevel brought the best of his quality. But the truth is that the distinction between Cain's karbon being rejected and Hevel's being accepted wasn't that only one time. The truth is that we have never accepted the idea of offering fruits and vegetables as a karbon to Hashem. Whereas Hevel's idea of offering animals has been mainstream in the world of sacrifices. Now, we have an idea of Bikurim. Bikurim are first fruits brought to the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim, but they're not offered on the Mizbeach. They're eaten by the Kohen. The idea of offering something up to Hashem has been limited, mostly, to animals and not to fruits. In fact, Chazal understand the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, one is not allowed to offer Dvash on the Mizbeach. Chazal say Dvash refers to fruits, not just honey, but any fruit product cannot be offered on the Mizbeach. So it turns out that the distinction between Cain and Hevel's karbanos wasn't just a quality issue. There's something wrong with bringing fruits as a karbon, but animals are okay. Which is confusing, because Hashem doesn't require either of them. Hashem is self-sufficient, doesn't need anything from us. The whole point of a karbon is to show our appreciation, our recognition of Hashem by giving back what we have to Him. But then why should it matter if it's fruits or vegetables or animals? Does it really matter to Hashem? Is he anti-vegetarian? Is he only want to eat some steaks? Meshe Chachma discusses this question in this week's parsha and gives a beautiful answer. Before I get to his answer, I want to share with you an analogy that I shared during the summer at the Tefillah Shir that Rabbi Schoenfeld mentioned. Imagine a parent gives a child an allowance. The child might work really hard for that allowance. And the parent's birthday is coming up, and the child wants to show the parent just how much the parent means to the child. The child is so excited to make the father some kind of birthday gift. So the child takes the $10 he got for an allowance and goes to his father and says, here you go, Abba, happy birthday. Here's $10, buy yourself something nice. That doesn't form any kind of a relationship. What does it mean to give back to someone exactly what they gave to you? Even if the child worked hard to be able to earn that money as an allowance, mopping floors and pruning the garden, whatever they used to do, but still, to give back exactly the same $10 to the father doesn't create any kind of closeness or relationship. But imagine the child took that same $10 he got from his father, went to the pharmacy, and bought some oak tag and some markers, and made a card, and says, happy birthday, Dad. You're the greatest dad I've ever had. I love you. He gives it to his father. What would you say about that? He still purchased the markers and oak tag with his father's money, but he took what his father gave him and he invested it. He made something different. He invested something of himself. The child took the materials given to him by his father and found a way to make them his own, to invest something of himself, to give something up of his time and his effort and creativity. And that is so much more meaningful. That actually creates a relationship. The Meshech Chachma explains along similar lines that when you think about giving fruits back to Hashem, you're essentially just giving him exactly what he gave you. It's true a farmer has to work hard to get to that point of cultivating the field and harvesting and plowing and reaping. That's true. But from the moment the $10 is given, the fruits are grown on the field, to give him back to Hashem exactly as he gave him to you, what kind of closeness does that show? The father gave it to you. What are you giving back to him exactly what he gave to you? But think about an animal. Meshech Chachma points out there is a halacha that called mechusar zman. An animal actually cannot be offered the day it's born. An animal cannot be offered until it's about 8 days old, or 8 days old and older. What that requires the owner to do is spend time with the animal, invest some time, feed the animal, help the animal grow up, invest some time, energy, and creativity of yourself into that gift Hashem gave you, and when you give it back, it's much more meaningful. It's not the same $10, it's a marker and oak tag, it's a card. It's a meaningful card. And in that sense, Meshul Chachma explains further that we do have products that grow from the ground offered to Hashem on the Mizbeach. They also grow from the ground. Flour, wine, oil. But the difference is, that wasn't how they grew. You took the wheat and you ground it up, made flour. You took the wine, you took the olives, and you made them into something better. You took the materials Hashem gave you, and you improved it, and made it something worth giving back. And in that sense, what we learn, according to Rav Tzadok, that a karbon is first appearing in Bereishis to teach us all about what a karbon, and really more broadly, what avodah Hashem has to be, it requires some kind of a sacrifice, some kind of an investment. Now, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, points out that he doesn't like the translation of sacrifice for a karbon. Sacrifice? What are you sacrificing to Hashem? You're giving something up that he didn't have before? And therefore, he explains the word karbon comes from the word kurva, closeness, a closeness with Hashem. But according to Meshul Chachma, we can explain that, where does that closeness come from? It comes from a sacrifice. It comes when you have to give something up. When you don't just take exactly what was given to you and give it right back to the Father, give it right back to where it came from, but to invest something of oneself, to actually show, I'm going to take up my time, I'm going to take up my creativity, I'm going to give something away to the point where I'm not just giving back exactly as it was, but I'm showing I'm invested in it. And in that sense, we learn that all of Avodas Hashem really requires a sacrifice. It's wonderful when we're able to serve Hashem, we're able to go to shul and to learn and to give tzedakah and to help people out as best as we can when it's easy. But it doesn't require a sacrifice. It doesn't require us to give up anything. It's easy for us. There's no problem for us to take care of it. So then, what are we really showing? What are we really giving to Hashem when it doesn't require us to give up anything? There's a beautiful story of Rav Shalom Shvadron, who was the Maggid of Yerushalayim, who had a yeshiva at night for Balei Tshuva, for young teenagers who were not from religious homes. Rav Shvadron realized that one of the teenagers who had been so successful in the program before had stopped coming. And he went to the teenager's house and he was surprised the kid wasn't sick, he hadn't moved away, and the kid was embarrassed, but he explained that, you know, currently it was the soccer tournament going on, and as much as he liked to come to yeshiva and to learn, for the next few weeks he wouldn't be able to come because of the soccer tournament. He said, I'll come back later. And to make a long story short, Rav Shvadron explained to him that soccer is only significant because there's someone blocking the goal. It's very easy to go to a goal when no one's blocking and just kick 100 goals. What makes players superstars, what makes them exceptional, is the ability to achieve and to score when there is an obstacle in the way, when it requires a sacrifice, when it requires something difficult that we have to do. That's what makes it meaningful. And if you only come to yeshiva, if you only come when there's nothing else going on in your life, then what are you sacrificing? What are you giving up in order to show that closeness to Hashem? I'm willing to give something up in order to have this relationship with you. And the child was convinced to come back to yeshiva, realizing that to the real show of a person's devotion to Hashem in any area of religious activity is for a person to really show Hashem that when it's most difficult, in the current climate that we're in, everything is most difficult. Everything is so much more hard. Everything is so much more challenging. We have to jump through hoops, regulations, and safety concerns that are very important to take care of. But at the same time, this is the chance we have to show Hashem what a sacrifice we can make in our avodas Hashem. A karbon requires a sacrifice. A karbon that we accepted was Hevel's idea that you don't just take the materials that are easy and give them right back, but to actually invest something of oneself, to show Hashem that we're actually willing to go the extra mile and to find obstacles and to overcome them, and specifically show when it's most difficult that we're willing to engage in avodas Hashem.